Hello, my fellow aliens, ghosts, and or robots. This is Keith, and thank you for joining me on the first episode of my newest audio fiction podcast, An Invisible Sun. Those of you who have listened to my show, The Book of Constellations, will be somewhat familiar with the format of these podcasts, though I hope you don't mind me taking a minute to talk with you here at the beginning. My goal is to release a chapter a week here on the podcast for you to hear, complete with original music, atmospheric sound effects, and so on. At the end of the story, I will be releasing An Invisible Sun as an ebook and turning the podcast into an audiobook, just as I've done with The Book of Constellations. But the podcast will always be available. And if you're curious about more of my work, go to alienghostrobot.com. Let me tell you a bit about this story. I started writing An Invisible Sun over 15 years ago. It sat in a metaphorical drawer a lot, and has gone through 7 different revisions over the years to reach you today. So this story has a special place in my heart. It's also special because it's dedicated to my father, and today, August 1st, is his birthday. He died a few years ago, but he was the one who instilled in me my love of sci-fi and fantasy. I read all the sci-fi paperbacks he had, and I have a memory of standing in line with him to go see the first Star Wars movie in the theater when it first came out. I don't think I could be a sci-fi writer without him. So, Dad, happy birthday. And this is for you. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 1. I wish you could see. This wasn't the moment, because becoming unstuck does not happen all at once. But it began, as it often does, with a thought that wouldn't go away. I wasn't sure at first where the blood was coming from. Like countless nights before, I sat up on the edge of my bed in the heat of my little room, the sweat rising effortlessly from my pores, when suddenly there it was, a dark trickle running down my palm. In the orange half-light coming from the window, the blood looked like black ink, dripping startling, unfamiliar letters on my carpet. I followed the line up my arm to the source, a tiny tear in my skin a few inches above my wrist. An impossible cut. I hadn't moved in almost an hour. Nothing sharp nearby, and I didn't have the energy to lift my eyes, let alone scratch. Nevertheless, there it was. A little line where my skin opened and my blood was leaking out. It didn't even hurt. I pressed my fingers against the wound to staunch the flow. Cuts do not spontaneously appear on one's arm, do they? Then, there came the thought, haunting and feverish. There is something wrong with me. It's a thought I'd had before, of course. I have the catalog of symptoms, all easily dismissed. Sweating, fever. The air conditioning in my apartment barely worked. The world is hotter than it has ever been in the human era. The pulsatile tinnitus, the sound of blood rushing in your ears. I get it all the time, but it could be anything. Insomnia. Yes, but that's the world's condition, not just mine. Everyone has that. Nutritional deprivation, they say. We're not getting some key protein or mineral. Or perhaps it's a buildup of toxins in the blood coming from the air and the water. No one really seems to know. But no one gets enough sleep. We are a planet of restless souls. Ghosts haunting our routines. No rest for we, the wicked. Sometimes I imagined I could feel them, the others unable to sleep, crammed into little rooms, in block after block of high rises, sheathed in darkened windows. Just like me. There on the bed, the vibrations of Atlanta reached me even in the small hours. I did have the pills in my bedside table. Reassuringly round, periwinkle blue pills in a bottle. You can get them everywhere. Even at the corner store, on display, next to the candy and vape fluid. They might help me sleep. Everyone has them. Everyone takes them. Except for me. I hadn't taken them in weeks, and rarely before then. I don't like the way they made me feel the next day. Disconnected and stretched out. A kind of enforced serenity. It was hard feeling connected to anything after taking those pills, and frankly, I didn't need any help feeling disconnected. If I was going to have to confront the chaos surrounding my life, I ought to do it sober and know what I was getting into. The truth is, of course, that at that point in my life, I wasn't confronting anything. But the blood and the thought it carried remained. I was exhausted, but I knew sleep would not come. Not that night. Not anymore. Not with mysterious wounds mingling my blood with my sweat. The bleeding had stopped. It was just a little cut. My skin looked pale and thin around it. Fragile, even. Some sort of skin lesion? Even at that moment, I was trying to find some plausible excuse to write it off. Some freak occurrence, perhaps. But no. Not this. Not this time. I resolved to call a doctor the next day after classes. Not that I expected much. He would just tell me to take the sleeping pills and some nutritional supplements and shuffle me along. Wouldn't he? Maybe a trip to the roof. Perhaps if I cooled off, I might be able to sleep. I had to teach in the morning, and even a couple of hours would have given me some strength to confront the day. Otherwise, my concentration would be shot. My lectures would be disjointed and jumbled, and not that my students would care. I found the energy to stand. My joints ached. Add it to the symptom list. And I shuffled my way between my bed and chest of drawers to the window. Behold my tiny apartment. Just two rooms and a bath, cramped and filled with my few possessions, which were mostly old books and mismatched Victoriana collectibles. So many things I had collected over the years. Bits of mismatched china, penny dreadfuls in Mylar bags. Old postcards. Useless junk. I used to spend so much time and money tracking down anything from the Victorian era. It was my specialty, after all, and there was something appealing about the formality and order of it all. But over time, it became rather pointless. Still, I wonder what will become of it all. The glass of the window felt cool against my palm, but that could be deceiving. The temperature had been trending warm for late October. I put on my glasses, then the bathrobe, which had become a bit too big for me. I blotted up the little stain on the carpet with a cloth. My sneakers were in the front room under the television screen. In their customary bowl by the front door, my key ring and filter mask waited, and both went into my bathrobe pocket. I have made this trip many times and almost never encountered anyone wandering the halls. The lift carried me to the top floor. Each hall basically looked the same as all the others, except for a change in color scheme, a different bit of generic art on the walls, and the numbers on the doors. The only real difference was here, on the 70th floor, at the far end of the main corridor, waited a metal door labeled No Entry and Danger, High Voltage. The lock no longer worked. So, up a short concrete stairwell and out onto the roof. The wind whipped my bathrobe about like a flag in a storm. I kept my eyes closed at first and took a couple of sips of air in through my nose. It smelled sour, but the quality didn't seem too poor. The filter mask remained in my pocket. The roof was home to several enormous air exchangers and other smaller, less obvious machines. I moved past the rumbling behemoths, stepping around puddles of runoff and to my usual spot at the fence. Below me, Atlanta sprawled, 300 meters down and an eternity in all directions. The city's lights run unbroken to the next city and the next. A swath of urban construction stretching from Miami to Boston. You could almost imagine seeing that far were it not for the East Coast's eternal smog. The October air wasn't exactly cool, but the wind felt good, at least. And there it is, throwing fingers of light heavenward past the skyscrapers that grow like grass around me. The Gateport. A valley of light in the middle of everything. A vast temple whose constant pilgrims are the planes and shuttles weaving paths in the sky above it. Fatigue pulled at me. I hooked my fingers into the chain-link fence and peered down at the streets far below. All this magnificent creation spread out around me, and I had nothing to do with it. I placed not a single brick, ran not a single wire. These machines on the roof with me, which rumble, vent, and trip, do so without my bidding, and I hardly even know what they do. How can anyone feel a part of a world when it clearly doesn't need them? I teach history, which no one seems to care about these days. I was vestigial. A trivial curiosity, surrounded by far more useful and practical people. Something is wrong with me, yes, but it felt like something had been wrong for a very long time now. I was stuck. Mired. I couldn't tell you when it happened, because these things do not happen all at once. We lower ourselves, little by little, year by year, into the quicksand, and then the struggle to stay afloat wears us down until we don't have the strength to pull ourselves out. Suddenly, the sky lit up as if someone had taken a photo from behind a gauze curtain, only the flash was the size of the sun and shone violet. For half a second, Atlanta basked in strange purple daylight. And then it was gone, and I was left blinking at afterimages, dazzled by the momentary radiance. High over Atlanta, out in space, The Shayot Gate is there, somewhere. And that flash means that some ship, maybe a passenger liner, maybe a cargo hauler, has been propelled from Earth to some other place in the solar system at close to the speed of light. Who is on board? Where were they going? I felt a need to run, to move. I should be on one of those ships. I must get out of here, but where would I go? And why? I run my fingertip over the delicate and tiny scab on my arm. And then it happened. But again, this wasn't the moment. That comes later. Something moved along the edge of my vision, dark and formless. I spun, eyes widening, hands curling into fists, heart in my throat. I searched through the orange-tinted haze, but whatever I saw wasn't there anymore. Was there someone else up here with me?
Hello?
I called, the word drowned out by the buffeting wind and the roar of the machines. What could it have been? A momentary impression, not so much something I saw, but a feeling of presence. A shadow cast by a hover car overhead? No, not at night. Another tenant of the building? Possible. Easy to miss the sound of the door behind the wind and the machinery. I raised my voice.
Hello?
No reply. I took a few cautious steps around the corner of a large air conditioner, my shoes crunching on a layer of grit and scale built up on the concrete. My hands fumbled in my pockets, searching for some sort of weapon, but only my filter mask waits for me there. A few more steps and I would be around the big machine. Whoever I saw must be there. There's no other place for them to be.
Hello?
I called and peered around the side. There was no one there. Nothing but a pool of runoff and a few bits of ancient litter. I checked back over my shoulder, then all around the roof. But I was alone. There had been something. I'm certain of it. I saw it. I felt it. But nothing was there even after a second search. Was I hallucinating now? I think of the lesion that opened on my arm. God, what if I was getting these lesions in my brain? My eyes itched. There came a telltale burning sensation blooming in my nose. The pollution was starting to get to me. I didn't want to be out here anymore, filter mask or no. Somehow my hot little apartment seemed better than this sprawling city, crowded and empty at the same time, full of phantoms. Besides, I had work in the morning. And that was really all I had. So, tomorrow, I'll see a doctor after classes, and there will be answers. But the moment comes tomorrow. An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server, or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.